This is Mountain News and World Report, WMMT's weekly sojourn into life in Central Appalachia. We now invite you to join us for a visit with folks you may or may not know, items of interest to us all, and shining moments in our living history.
I read things that are uplifting because that helps put me in a positive mindset, but my favorite Bible verse is Psalms 30 and 5. And it says that even though weeping may tarry in the night, joy will come in the morning. And that's one of my all-time favorites, just because it lets you know that everything's going to be okay. If it's not okay in the end, then it's not the end. That's very uplifting to me. About the economy, I just know that if we have faith, small as a mustard seed, then it will get better.
That was 18-year-old Stacy Fugit of Hazard, Kentucky, speaking with WMMT reporter Kelly Haywood about her thoughts on the downtown revitalization of her hometown for an upcoming episode of Mountain News and World Report. And this is Katie Paratina. I'm your host, and this is Mountain News and World Report. Despite the fact that it often seems the world revolves around our youth and youth culture, the fact is that so many decisions that change the way of living for us all are made with little or no input from youth at all. In our society, older adults often wield a heavy hand in decision-making, while many believe that young people have no opinions or are uninformed. Is it possible that they just aren't being heard? Recent census data has shown that 1 in 5 young adult millennials live in poverty. With financial and personal independence hard to obtain, making your voice heard can be a struggle. For her first story, Kelly Haywood visits the Sapling Center, one of 2 new youth drop-in centers in Whitesburg, Kentucky.
Kentucky River Community Care, KRCC, is an organization serving 8 counties in eastern Kentucky with a focus on helping people connect with resources to meet their basic needs, including housing, crisis services, and health care. This past November, KRCC opened the second of what they hope to be one of many youth drop-in centers, the Sapling Center, in Whitesburg. The Sapling Center targets transitional age youth from 14 to 25 with a focus on mental health and youth in crisis situations, but is open to any who would like a safe and supportive place to have fun.
I'm Randy Dollarhide, and I'm the youth coordinator for Kentucky River Community Care Youth Drop-In Center. Growing up, there really wasn't a place to kind of, you know, get out of the house and, like, do stuff that didn't involve money. So our idea was to create a safe haven in the mountains where our kids can come and we can get, you know, like, the latest and greatest in technology, and, like, they can have access to up-to-date computers and printers that actually work, because we all know when we have printers at the house, they never work. Because a lot of people don't realize, you know, a lot of things that go on in these mountains when it comes to when these kids get bored, you know, they do a lot of things they shouldn't be doing. Like, for me personally, I think it would have helped a lot to just have somewhere to go and just a place to socialize and a place to hang out. Something here. Like, we don't have anything here. All the jobs gone, and then, like, these kids like to party when they're bored, you know? So, like, that's just a big problem that we face, and then, like, you know, drugs are an issue in the mountains. So it's just really something to do. Keep your mind off other things, to take away all that free time we have.
Membership is required to drop in at the Sapling Center, but having a membership is free. Meals and use of many of the activities and amenities is also free. If you want to utilize any of their individual counseling or group therapy services, you may do so without parental consent in the state of Kentucky if you are 16 or over, and your health insurance will cover the cost. Cody Watts, the Youth Peer Support Specialist, gives us a grand tour of the Sapling Center and what they offer.
We'll have the Wii U set up in here, and they can sit in here and play the Wii or watch Netflix or movies or whatever they want to do in here. In here we have the craft / conference room. We have tons of crafts,
just a ton of stuff for the kids to do. We also have paint. We'll have the canvases in here. Kids love to do the crafts. I love it. In here we have the kitchen. We will try to keep stock. Also try to do nightly meals, and like spaghetti or chili or and stuff like that. Right here we have a washer and dryer. Some kids don't have access to a washer and dryer. We also have a shower for kids who don't have access to a shower, or they feel like they just want to shower. We have towels and rags and stuff like that. In here is our therapist room.
We'll have a therapist here most days from 3:30 to 5. In here, we will have PlayStation 4, virtual reality. We'll have computers. We will have access to internet for the kids to do their projects, their homework, anything for school. We also have a patio outside that the kids can come out and sit out and eat out there too. So I'm really looking forward to it.
The Sapling Center is located across from Pizza Hut at 60 Jenkins Road in Wattsburg and is open Monday through Thursday from noon to 8 p.m. The Sapling Center can be reached on Facebook, or you can call them at 606-633-0730 to arrange transportation to the center or get more information about programs and activities they offer. For WMMT, I'm Kelly Haywood.
Ever since the old Boone Motor Building on Madison Avenue in Whitesburg was acquired by Apple Shop, it has been visioned as a youth space. 17 years ago, youth from all over the region, state, country, and eventually the world began gathering at the Boone for music shows of rock, punk, metal, and much more. It was one of the first places to foster a regional network of youth interested in art, music, zines, and flying the flag of freely expressed youth. And now, a new, more structured, but just as open, supportive, and imaginative space has been created as another Whitesburg Youth Center. The Boone Youth Drop-In Center, that focuses on providing a safe and sober place for area young people to create art, play music and games, attend workshops in various subjects, teach their own workshops, use and check out technology, and otherwise have a dang good time. In the following voice montage, you will hear Boone Master Mikey Burke, Director of the Appalachian Media Institute, Kate Fowler, and Program Coordinator Lacey Hale speak of the whys, hows, and whats of the Boone Youth Drop-In Center.
The Boone Motor Building is a place that for the last 16 to 17 years has been used as a youth outlet through community shows or like workshops and things like that. And instead of there just being a punk show on Friday and a workshop on Saturday, we're doing stuff through the week now.
I think it also came off of the Summer Documentary Institute we have, because we'd have this great institute where young people would be here every day and then it would end. They didn't have that place to go that they were used to all summer, and we'd see Oakley. I literally drove by one day and saw him with his face pressed up against the window looking in, and I was like, oh my God, like we've got to open the doors up so that people can just use the computers and keep editing after they've learned how to use these tools, like still have access to them.
When I first started coming here, the idea was like, I came on Friday and had a lot of fun, made friends, and it was kind of, you know, very community-based. You learned a lot of stuff, but it was over. It was one night of it. Next month, there might be another concert. You were left dormant for a really long time without having anything to do. So I think the idea of the Boone Motor Drop-In Center is that we just have it reoccurring. There's nonstop workshops. There's always a place for kids to come. We're open 3 days a week now. And that's Monday, Thursday, and Friday from 3 to 8.
When there aren't places for young people to go and be creative and also feel like they have ownership over the place where they can just be weird or dance around or laugh or be goofy in a place that they feel like they own, that I think a lot of young people have to find kind of alternative places, which could be that abandoned building back there, or it could be at a friend's house whose parents aren't there. So I think the idea for us was like providing a safe, sober alternative for young people to still be themselves and to feel like they can be creative and still be around adults but not feel like they have to
hide
who they are. Yeah.
Through this building, there's so many places in Whitesburg and Letcher County. You know, they have the rec center where they could go over there and they can run and do things of that matter and play basketball. But, you know, for me, I wasn't into playing basketball or anything like that. Like, I wanted to draw and play drums, play D&D. They didn't open a space around here for people to do that. It's always been like people had to make their own space. And now they can come every Monday and they're here nonstop, like playing.
Yeah, and I think last night was a really good example for me because we had like 10 people upstairs playing Dungeons and Dragons, and then we had a few people in here making Christmas ornaments, and then we had somebody in the back beating on the drum set. And I was like, it's just this really interesting thing where there's a way to like build a club and have a community of your friends playing kind of an imaginary game. Or you can make like Christmas ornaments to put on your tree. Last night was kind of cool for me because I was like, oh, they're just kind of starting to do what they want to do. And the more young people can say like, hey, we really want to have a bedazzling club or something, it would be awesome for them to just come and use that space for it.
You know, when I came back from art school, I was so excited that the Boone Building had shows, being like 21 years old, and finding a place that was open to letting me be who I wanted to be and who I was. And youth-led was so awesome. And just to see it continue throughout the year and the fact that it's arts-based, I feel very lucky to be involved with that because I care about it so much more than I probably would otherwise. So to see some of the kids that come in here, the things they create, they're very intuitive, they're very thoughtful. It's pretty incredible. And to see some of the youth that have been involved in AMI start to take leadership roles and, like, you know, do their own thing, and you can see them grow like right before your eyes. It's really, really cool.
The really hard reality, or at least what I've noticed, is a lot of the young people we know have to be around addiction at home all the time. In school, sometimes they also have to be around it too. But I think if there's a place where it's like really explicit that no drugs are allowed and that none of the people in the space are on drugs and that they're coming to be creative, to me, it wasn't as much as us worrying about our young people wanting to do drugs here as much as we were worrying about our young people needing a space to get away from possibly their families or their peers who are on drugs. Just having a place where you don't ever have to worry if you're going to walk into a scenario and somebody is going to be high or somebody is going to be coming down from something.
I would also say, you know, it's also been a place for people to come and talk about that kind of thing. You know, there's a lot of kids that come here that talk about their friends that are on drugs, or, you know, even me now at 26 years old, I have friends that a year ago I hung out with every day that now they're on drugs and you don't see anymore. And these kids are coming here and being like, yeah, I have friends in school that are doing stuff and we don't hang out anymore. You know, like I said, it's like a circle that just keeps evolving of like people helping other people. These kids are wondering, like, why are their friends choosing to do drugs instead of come here and hang out? Mm-hmm. Like, yesterday, that kid was like, my friend said it was stupid to come make ornaments. And I was like, well, that's kind of real, you know? but it's cool that you showed up to make it. So I guess it is a space for people to come and be like, yeah, you know, my friend's on drugs. We don't hang out anymore. Like, how can I reach out to him?
It's also not shame-based. When we deal with like drug addiction, that I think oftentimes it's like the abstinence is the best option kind of thing with sexual education. I think it's the same with drugs, that it's not like you're going to come here and if you talk to Mikey, he's going to be like, oh man, your parents suck for being on drugs and they must be terrible people. Everybody who's been here has kind of had a family member situation where they're dealing with addiction, and it's coming from a place of understanding and also recognizing that it's really present in this community and also in communities across the nation. I mean, it's like a national epidemic, and I think the more spaces it can open up to kind of address addiction with openness and understanding, the better it'll be for our young people. So if you create a space where young people can like safely say like, hey, Lacey, I tried this thing, and she can offer resources and support, I think it's incredibly valuable. And then I saw a few of our young people. One of them, Jaden, who was like, man, I just wanted to get out of here. But now it's like, he's like, I want to open a restaurant. I want to invest in my community. I want to stay here. I love this place. I love the adult leaders in this place. So I think it's like, if you can intervene really early in like a feeling about place and make people feel like they want to care for it and they want to be here and they want to care for their community, then I think they're not as likely to get into drugs or as likely to get arrested or have other problems arise.
If it wasn't for AMI or the Boone Building at all, it's like I would be a completely different person. Every friend that I consider close, I met here. 90% of the girls I had crushes on growing up were here.
Like, you know, my husband here.
Yeah. It's like it's so much involvement here. So it's like I'm trying to teach kids to take pride in something that's special. Kids are coming here and taking pride in making their own zines. They're pushing out volume 1 and 2 in a month, and I've made one zine in like 3 years. It's like, I mean, they're doing so much cool stuff. For me, this building was the reason to stay. I could create a job. Kate and Lacey, like, helped me figure out how to be able to stay here.
The Boone Master.
Yeah. You know, and then that was like, you know, okay, I'll be the Boone Master. Just, I would love for the kids that feel like they're weird and having a hard time to be able to come here and, like, not feel weird anymore. Because, like, you show up, Lacey's got, like, purple hair, you know.
We're all tattoos.
Yeah, we're really different from like the normal like youth drop-in, which is cool.
And also I think that like we kind of have a focus, you know, because we are arts-based focus, like we have like tons of art supplies. A lot of people have donated. We have paint, we have block printing supplies. We just got a forearm screen printing press. So we're wanting to give the youth here an option and be like, hey, you can learn this skill, maybe make some money, have a small business. Art isn't always just a hobby. If you work hard at it, you know, if you work really hard at it and hustle, like, you know, you can be an artist and make money at it. But yeah, the hustle is the key word. We want to give them a creative outlet, but also hopefully they'll find something here that they love and that they really like to do. And then they'll figure out, hey, you know, maybe I could do a project that could help fund, you know, college or, you know, just like different options.
But it's still building. We're starting pretty small. The school bus is not bringing over a load of young people to come. And I think we have to work really hard. For better or worse, Apple Shop kind of has a reputation mm-hmm. in the community. And there's hippies or anti-coal or pot smokers or something, and we can put like safe, sober space and like the most bold letters on the front of it, but people are still like slowly driving by, looking in the window, making sure we're not up to anything. So I think it's just a process of like gaining trust. We've always had this network of young people who come, and now it's just about making a larger network of young people feel like they can be safe here, like maybe some youth who are like into coal mining and want to be in the military, also want to come to the Boone and hang out. So that's kind of a new chapter for AMI, is figuring out how to kind of push past the reputation that we may have and like let parents know that this is a really safe, nurturing space for their kids to be in.
We would love for parents to come in. Like, yeah. I would love to meet your dad and find out, you know, I would love for him to ask me who my family is. Like, I want people to stop here, and it's been really cool for people to drop off their youngins and come in here and be like, so where are you from? Oh, you went to Jenkins? Like, I remember you as a little boy. So, but I would love for people to come in here with their young people and find out who we are. I want you to know where I live and what I do and what I'm interested in, and I want to be friends with your parents just as much as I want to be friends with you. I feel like the more of a connection we can make, the better off we'll be. If your parents know who Mikey Burke is, then they're okay to stop by and drop you off, and we can make comic books all night.
We talk about a lot is like two things: building a sense of place and community and love for your home, but also a pathway to go to school if you want to stay in the region and go to school, or if you want to go somewhere else and you love New York City and you want to, you know, be in the theater, like helping to build a pathway for them to get there. And I think building that love for place means oftentimes they'll come back with new skills, and they'll reinvest, and they will have gone out and experienced the world. Some young people want to stay. How can we nurture them in staying? And some young people want to go, and how can we make sure that they can successfully go? They want to study science somewhere. If they need a scholarship, how can we connect them to that? And I think it's going to be a really long time, but the more that we acknowledge that young people need like multiple options and like multiple networks, the better we can do to set them up to reinvest and help to build this place.
I mean, it did take me moving away and going to New York City, going to art school, to really appreciate this area and how much I really loved it here. Just being in a new place with, you know, so many different types of people around you all the time. I mean, it changed the way I thought about a lot of things. It was very enlightening, and I really enjoyed my time there, but it made me really appreciate home. Working here, I do think, am I going to see any change in my lifetime? I mean, that has crossed my mind. Sometimes I am pessimistic, but just keep working at it. I don't want to give up on this region. You know, I was the sixth generation Hale that, you know, lived on my family's property in Wolf Pen. And so to me that, you know, I'm getting kind of teary-eyed, but that means a lot. And so the people here really mean a lot to me too. And we just can't give up.
I'm a constant. You know, I didn't move to the city. I didn't go away to school. I went to community college here. I wasn't good at school, so I couldn't really go to a bigger school, and I didn't want to. I didn't want to be in a dorm. I wanted to have an apartment in town with my friends and then figure out that that was a bad idea, you know, and then, like, move back to McRoberts where I was from. I would say, you know, for the people that come here, there's definitely young people that I see that have a major role here, and I see people that come here that have a major role elsewhere. I see them having bigger impact in a city. they would like that life better. And there's kids that come here that I'm like, you're totally going to be here for the next 20 years because you want to be.
You know, the young people who started Apple Shop were figuring out how they felt about their life through media production. And I think we're trying to keep that mission intact, navigating your circumstances through art. I think if more people could come, more adults could come and hang out with the young people and watch them making stuff, hear their ideas more clearly and more open-mindedly, I think a lot of us would have more hope. We need like our young people talking to us to reinvigorate this region. Mm-hmm. I don't think young people are sitting around all day saying like, coal's gone, it's over, we're done, or what comes next. I think that they're just doing. They're just creating and being and growing. And so I think a lot of the hope for this region lies there.
Be sure to find the Boone Youth Drop-In Center on Facebook or call Apple Shop at 606-633-0108 and ask for Mikey, Kate, or Lacey, and they'd be happy to answer your questions. Upcoming February events include block print Valentines, screen printing, bread making, poetry workshop, a drone workshop, Valentine's dance, Dungeons and Dragons, mural design, and intro to archive film. Any area youth from ages 14 to 22 are welcome to come and play or create. In our next segment, we're going to hear from two young women from Letcher County, Kentucky, who express their feelings about our new President Donald Trump and experience with the controversy surrounding his election. The first speaker is Stephanie Chervanovsky.
Hi, my name is Stephanie. I grew up just outside the city limits of Whitesburg, a small town in southeastern Kentucky. I voted for Trump this past election, and my hopes and dreams for the next 4 years are 1. Safer borders. I really hope that Trump will help us weed out the terrorists in our country who are coming over from other countries. Building a wall, in my opinion, would help greatly with our drug problem and our violence from illegal immigrants. 2. I really hope that Trump, being the businessman that he is, will bring in more jobs and money to the economy, and that he will help us grow as a nation financially. We need to rid ourselves from the debt that we have incurred so far and work on spending money on things that matter. 3. I hope that having Trump as a president will allow more citizens in places like Chicago to carry a concealed firearm if they choose to, granted that they are not a felon, and that they follow the legal steps in place to ensure that they are not a danger to the public. Too many of our cities that ban guns leave the respectable, law-abiding citizens with no way to defend themselves, and only encourage those criminals with guns to do more harm, knowing they will not be stopped. 4. Finally, I hope that Trump will address the issue of abortion and crack down on needless and flippant practice of it. Too many young lives have been snuffed out for the sake of convenience. Women and men need to realize the consequences of their actions and understand that with great privilege comes great responsibility. I pray for President Trump. I respect him and his family, and I look forward to the next 4 years with a great sense of optimism.
And finally, we hear from 18-year-old Hannah Adams. Hannah wrote an essay and recorded it as part of Youth Radio in collaboration with A Holler, which is part of KVEC, the Kentucky Valley Educational Cooperative. She writes about living in a small town which can't afford to stay divided. Her story was recently featured on National Public Radio's show Here and Now, Hannah Adams.
I grew up in Letcher, Kentucky. It's a small town in Appalachia, you know, coal country. I guess you could call us one of those working-class places you hear so much about lately. But the more I hear talk about rural communities like ours, the less I feel like the rest of the country understands us at all. People seem to think we're living in the past, like we're all hillbillies on food stamps or closed-minded conservatives who only value coal. But that's not the truth. The biggest difference between where I live and most of America is that in a small town like this, we can't afford to stay divided. Like any community, we have our political disagreements. The presidential election results were a surprise to all of us. Local Trump supporters and haters alike never expected him to pull through. But even though there are people in my town who aren't happy about Trump becoming president, no one is going to break out the protest signs or set stuff on fire. In a city, if you tick someone off, you can retreat. Find a bubble of people who agree with you. But here, you can't isolate yourself. We run into each other in the aisles of grocery stores. All the kids go to one big high school. And even though a lot of younger people aren't crazy about coal, they're guaranteed to have a relative that worked in the mines. So even though all the tensions dividing our country exist here, they happen in very close quarters. For example, there's a guy in my town who went to a pro-Trump inauguration party with his family and then an anti-Trump gathering with friends that night. At school, there are kids who are pro-Trump and anti-Trump, but we don't get into screaming fights in class. The biggest demonstration on Inauguration Day was at a local radio station where the DJs decided to play protest songs. We know yelling back and forth will only result in hurt feelings, so when politics do come up, here's how we handle it. We listen. We respect each other. Because at the end of the day, we can't afford not to. I'm Hannah Adams in Letcher, Kentucky.
The opinions you just heard belong to Stephanie Chervanosky and Hannah Adams and do not necessarily reflect those of WMNT, Apple Shop, or the station's funders. That concludes this edition of Mountain News and World Report. I've been your host, Katie Piratina. WMMT would like to thank the folks at the Holler for sharing audio with us for this episode. Music featured in this episode is Heartbeat Darlin' by Doglayer from Letcher County, Kentucky, who can be found on Bandcamp and YouTube. And from all of us here at WMMT, thanks for tuning in.
This has been Mountain News and World Report, a production of WMMT-FM, Mountain Community Public Radio, the non-commercial broadcast service of the world-famous Apple Shop in Whitesburg, Kentucky.